knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. It's All Shots Clot Night. AllShotsClot.com. It's Monday, March 11th, 2024. How's everybody tonight? The call-in number is 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. Call in, grab a... Get yourself in the queue, and we'll take your call as soon as we can. We want to hear about your COVID/vaccine story, if you have one. And it could be childhood vaccinations. It could be the COVID vaccine. It could be the tetanus shot that almost knocked me out. Made me feel worse than I've ever felt ever. I've never felt close to death before. Of course, no one knows what death is like. But I tell you, if it's anything like what I felt, it was almost 2 weeks after I had the shot, by the way. And I thought it was maybe a hamburger I had, but there were no reports when I called the county health department about that. So I'm pretty sure it was the tetanus shot. And it was pretty bad. So that's what we do on this show. We just play vaccine injury videos from my website, FakoTube. FakoTube.com. You won't find vaccine injury or death or other critical to Big Harma videos on regular sites. That's why I really did find it necessary to create FakoTube. FakoTube is user supported, and it is where you will get the best information that you won't find on the main platforms. Let me just bring up FakoTube now. And you should see on FakoTube, if you refresh the page, that we are streaming live. So right over here, it should say live somewhere. Just let me see. It's a little slow, I guess. I don't know. It should say live. There it is. There's the live. See, it just pops up in between the top and all my videos. So we click on here. First, we mute our tab here. And then we're going to bring up the live page because we want to see the live chat. I did get a message last week from that lovely woman up in Northwest Territories that she was going to call in tonight, at least on the Discord at fake11.com/Discord. So let's see if she shows up tonight. I sent her another message. FakoTube looks like it's sluggish tonight, so let me try and bring it up. We just have to be patient here. We are streaming also on YouTube, Twitter, DLive, and Odyssey. I should try another Twitch account. My Twitch account got deleted, but that was back in the, I guess a year ago, when the censors were going bananas. So we're going to bring up the FakoTube chat right now and say hi to Jacquois. He's over there. Steve83's in here. Unknown User is also over here. And FakoTube, of course. Let's see how many people are on FakoTube right now. Anyway, again, what we do is we take your phone calls, Skype, Fakeologist. And we have open phones, 810-666-1984 or 902-400-1984. And there we go, unmute. Okay. And what I will also do is play a couple of videos as well and tell you what I'm up to. And, of course, the website is called AllShotsClot.com. I will show how easy it is to bring it up. And I don't think I have it open right now. Is it open? No. So here we go. We are going to this website, allshotsclot.com, and share this. As you see on the top, it says call-in show. This is ASC, All Shots Clot, number 9. You should find it on all your favorite podcast apps. And make sure you use a Podcast 2.0 app, Podcast Addict, on the Android Google phone. And there are many different apps on the Apple iPhone. Do not use the Apple iPhone app. It's no good. And there are many others. There's Overcast. There's Podverse, which actually works on both phones. And you can get an account to synchronize the two. And what else have they got there? There's another bunch. I'll just show you real quick. If you go to Podcast Index 2.0 apps, I'll show you. I promote this because I really like Adam Curry, who is the Podfather. And here are all the apps here. These are different apps you can get. You got, it shows you the platforms. And you've got, well, I didn't even know True Fans is an app. You got Podverse, Podcast Guru, Fountain, Podfriend, CurioCaster, and the Split Kit. Look at all these. Cast-O-Matic, Breeze. All kinds of apps. I didn't really know there's so many. And this shows you the features. Podverse is quite fully featured. So is Podcast Guru, Cast-O-Matic. And they all offer sat streaming. A sat is 1/1,000,000th, I think, or 1/100,000,000th of a Bitcoin, which, by the way, is hitting all-time highs. Is it time to switch from Epic Cash back to Bitcoin? Well, maybe. But there is no doubt that the big boys are backing. The big boys are backing Bitcoin. So that is being funded by all the big funds now. So I think it can only go up because the US dollar is going down. Okay, let's look at the let's look at the chat over here. Okay, Blondie, are you going to call in? Give us a call and we'll take your call. And let's play FakoTube, Denny Rancor. Let's play him. This is a good one. And I'm going to keep playing videos like this till the end of time because this is what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm a scientist. I have spent decades learning science and math, statistics, everything from quantum mechanics all the way to environmental science, biogeochemistry. I'm interdisciplinary. I was a tenured full professor at the University of Ottawa, and I always spoke my mind, and that got me fired. This was before COVID, so I knew what it was like to fight the establishment. And when I heard the COVID propaganda, I knew immediately that it was intense propaganda and that it couldn't possibly be true because they were yelling that we were all going to die and I couldn't see any dead bodies out in the street. And I did. I went out in the street and I looked around. I couldn't see any dead people, no matter what they said. And as a scientist, what I decided to do was to look at all-cause mortality data. So our nations collect very good data about the number of deaths. That's something you cannot be biased about. The person either died or they didn't. You know that they died. You know their age. You know where they died, and you collect that data. Countries collect very good data about deaths and births. So that is unbiased, hard data. We can analyze the number of deaths as a function of time, by age group, by sex, and by region, by jurisdiction, by province, state, down to municipalities and so on. And that is the data that I've been using since the very beginning of this so-called pandemic. And my research group, we were the first to say back in an article that was published in June of 2020, that when we look at all-cause mortality data, there is no pandemic. There was a peak of deaths at the beginning in certain hotspots that was directly due to how people were treated in hospitals and care homes. It was quantitatively due to that. There is no, so I can tell you, after 3 years of intense study that we are continuing, I can tell you the following thing. And this is hard scientific conclusions from looking at the data. There was no pandemic. There was no particularly virulent pathogen whatsoever. There's no evidence for it. There is nothing that is spreading that causes death. The mortality doesn't cross borders. The virus has a passport. It refuses to cross borders. You can make a map of Europe. You can see countries where there's absolutely no excess all-cause mortality, right beside hotspots where there's intense all-cause mortality. So those are firm conclusions from our, I have written more than 30 scientific reports about all-cause mortality and COVID-related science, and I can tell you these things with certainty. So when Eva says there's no global warming, I also study global warming. I did the calculations, the radiation transfer. I can tell you Eva is right. As a scientist, I can tell you there's no global warming, there was no pandemic, nothing is spreading, nitrogen is not a problem, cow farts are not a problem. I can tell you these things with certainty. I'm not joking. I'm a scientist. The article about radiation transfer and so-called global warming that I wrote in 2010, parts of it were read in the US Senate. It was very impactful. Scientists have said this is rigorous, this is hard. What we showed, what I showed in that calculation was you can double the amount of CO2 and it will not have a noticeable effect on the Earth's mean surface temperature, period. That's a hard calculation. So I've been doing this for many years. Every time there is a problem in society where science can be of some help, I get right in there and I do it. And so we have done this for COVID. We were the first to establish the points that I just told you about, and then we moved on to the vaccines. And what we found was that the vaccines are a toxic substance. They should be interpreted and thought of as a toxic substance that they inject into your arm. The best way to understand the effect of the vaccine is to study toxicology. So we showed that as soon as a booster is rolled out to a particular age group, very rapidly, within weeks, immediately there follows a peak in all-cause mortality. And we see this repeatedly in country after country. We have studied more than 100 countries now, and the vaccines are clearly temporally associated
nobody's getting
with
the volume on this?
Peaks in all-cause mortality.
Okay, sorry, guys. I thought you were getting the volume. Sorry about that. I'm just hearing that. No sound? Okay. Oops, I'm hearing the sound. This is the bizarre part. So you're not getting the sound. That's bizarre. Okay. I will share it again and see what happens. Hold on a sec. Sorry. Thank you for letting me know. This should work. Let me know. You guys went 5 minutes without sound? Okay.
And we were able to calculate the toxicity of that vaccine. And we find that the risk of dying per injection increases with age. And it increases exponentially with age. And your risk of dying per injection doubles every 4 or 5 years of age. We were the first to demonstrate that. We have demonstrated it repeatedly for many countries, Australia, Israel, Peru, many countries. And so in this study, one of the things we found, and this should convince anybody, the following thing. We can quantify excess mortality, whether or not there's mortality beyond the historic trend as a function of time. And what we find is that in more than half of the countries around the world, there is absolutely no excess mortality in the entire period from the time the pandemic was declared in March of 2020 all the way to until mortality starts to increase when the vaccines are rolled out. In more than half the countries in the world, there's no excess mortality until the vaccines are rolled out. And then there is a significant shift to a domain of higher mortality. And this is clear in the data itself. And the countries that do have excess mortality before you roll out the vaccines, it can be directly associated to how people were being assaulted. And there are many ways in different jurisdictions that people were assaulted. Some of the assaults were very vicious. Like in Peru, they actually called in 10,000 military reservists to go and test people in their homes, in the villages, everywhere, and pull them out and isolate them if they tested positive. They actually had a huge peak of mortality related to that policy. So when you assault people by refusing to treat them, in the U.S., they refuse to treat poor people for bacterial pneumonia by not prescribing antibiotics. This was a huge problem, a big killer in the U.S., and it created a peak of all-cause mortality in the summer, which is unheard of. Normally, mortality is lower in the summer. So we just kept seeing these features, and we kept explaining them quantitatively in terms of how populations were assaulted. So this was a mega campaign. Obviously, you know, it was planned by the CIA, the military. It was executed. They were going to do it no matter what. And it killed people by how they treated people. And then the vaccines themselves are toxic. So the experiment's been done globally. We know this now. We know that death increases exponentially with age. Many elderly people died. It's hard to complain because they were elderly, but still, they died. So just to give you one quantitative figure to leave you with, in most countries, people over 80, the chance, the risk of dying per injection is one death in between 5 and 20 injections, depending on the country. That's the level of toxicity of the vaccine for elderly people. And this is not to mention all the serious harms that are done to young people and young adults, including myocarditis, heart conditions, you name it. So this has been the nature of our scientific work. We're continuing this full time. We'll be publishing papers in the coming months that are even more revolutionary, I would say. And so we're not going to stop, and we're embarrassing the establishment scientists who are not doing this work and who are lying through their teeth and who are part of the propaganda industry. That's our job. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Denny Vancour. Oh, some bad music there.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Give that a thumbs up on FakoTube. FakoTube.com is my video platform. And what else do we have? Let me just check my email box here. Tim@allshotsclot.com. That's my email. And I'm using PGP right now. PGP is called Pretty Good Privacy. If I would highly recommend that you use PGP to send me emails from now on. And that encrypts all the emails. It's actually a little tricky to use, but don't be discouraged. Because you too can figure it out. I've figured it out, mostly. And I'm trying to get it working properly across my phone and my Windows computer. I use an email program called Betterbird. Here's a message from Lynn. Lynn is a big listener of the Fakeologist Show. She says, like you, my last jab was a tetanus booster. For me, this was in the mid-1980s. Bad knife cut from my kitchen career. Never had a flu shot, never will. My mom is 94 and has refused all injections since she was a child. She's in excellent health, only now has some memory troubles. This is a hill I would die on. If anyone ever tried to inject me with something, I tell you, I would view it as the same as if it was a loaded firearm coming at me. I'd use deadly force if needed to stop the needle. So there you go, Lynn. Thank you, Lynn, for that. Tim@allshotsclot.com. And she also sent me this note that they're on shot number 9. the CDC is. So I'll click on her link. She sent me a nice link. And we'll bring this up. We'll bring this up on the browser here. Yeah, anytime the sound or something doesn't work, you got to let me know. I know. Thanks to someone in the 519 area code for letting me know you weren't getting the audio. I'm sorry about that. A squirrel says, yep, another family friend, 13, died of a heart attack in Illinois. Her family donated organs before an autopsy. That's outrageous. That is terrible, Jenna. I hate to hear that. And, Jenna's saying that Kevin McCarron on protein chains. Okay, protein chains. Yeah, that is actually what they inject. It's the proteins that when you inject them into your blood, they're toxic because your blood can't break them down. That's what your stomach's supposed to do. And Jacques is challenging a squirrel on the name. Okay. We have a very skeptical crowd here. Very skeptical crowd. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Lots of people on Twitter. I guess we've been discovered on Twitter. Okay, on to Jordan Schachtel. He wrote this: for the Americans out there who remain true to the CDC's vaccine recommendation schedule, you'll be heading over to your local clinic in the coming weeks for another dose of Pfizer or Moderna's mRNA COVID gene serum. On Wednesday, the CDC recommended that seniors get another booster in the spring, making this the 9th dose for Americans who continue to abide by the government health booster guidance schedule. In just 3 years' time, the CDC's Vaccine Advisory Committee has now authorized 9 separate injections of a shot that was once advertised as the cure to the coronavirus. Yeah, and there's her. Yes, this is a real photo of CDC Director Mandy Cohen. Isn't she a beauty? Isn't she a beauty? Actually, I'm going to screenshot this one. And I'll make this the watermark for today's show. Why not? This will be the show art for all Shots Clot. If you guys want to use AI to make any kind of show art that you want me to put in the show notes, let me know. I'd appreciate that. And this is value for value, so I'm copying the No Agenda Show, what they do. And they love when people create show art. And this is show art right there. Okay, so let's go back to All Shots Clot, my blog, and see what else I've got there. And let's see where the heck it is here. Here we go. So that's Denny Rancourt. You don't have to log in to make comments on All Shots Clot. Anyone can comment. The commenting is open. And I wasn't getting the emails about the comments, so now I am. So thank you for your patience there. And I really don't post a whole lot on All Shots Clot, mostly videos that people are tired of seeing on the Fakeologist podcast. But I'm just going to, and anything from Catherine Watt, I almost automatically post it. This is such a great post. It's almost better to read it yourself, but I'm going to read it anyway, because I don't think anyone's reading this stuff out loud. And for those that are visually impaired or don't like reading, I think it's good to get this out into the ether, so I'm going to read this out from Catherine Watt. She's at bailiwicknews.substack.com. She won't come on my show. She doesn't like the theme, I guess, of Fakeologist. That's okay. I get turned down by lots of mainstream alternative guests. They'll go on other mainstream alternative platforms because That's the new mainstream, by the way. There was first mainstream news. No one watches that anymore except the boomers, and they're all dying off. So now we've transferred to mainstream alternative news, and that is replacing the mainstream news. Now, I don't think I am mainstream alternative news. I would call myself fringe alternative news fan. Can I coin that phrase for you guys tonight? This is fringe alternative news. And actually, let me read something that I posted on fakeologist.com. Again, I was listening to the No Agenda show, and I am going to donate to that show because I get so many good ideas, and those guys are so good. Even though they're not fakeologists, it's okay. I don't listen to all fakeologists all the time. But they found another AI site called perplexity.ai. And as you all know, AI is just like the latest technology. This is almost like the dot-com boom in 2000. Anyone old enough to remember that? And that is just about everything related to AI is getting tons of money right now, including NVIDIA. You would have made 10 times your money in the last year if you invested in NVIDIA. Anyway, this is perplexity.a, yet another website, and I typed in the question, what is fakeology? And this is what it says. Fakeology is a project that explores the relationship between fake news, pseudoscience, and modern mythology, particularly focusing on the anti-vaccination movement. The project aims to understand how pseudoscientific information spreads through social networks and its impact on society. Now that I think about it, this is not a definition based on my website. Somebody actually did a paper on fakeology. And now that I think about it, this is what this AI found. AI is just fancy for glorified searches. So now I'm recognizing this as I read it. And now I'm disappointed that I even posted it. Anyway, it draws connections between pseudoscience, populism, and health literacy, shedding light on the dissemination of misinformation and its effect on public perception. The Fakeologist Show. Now, this is different. The Fakeologist Show, this is my site. The Fakeologist Show is a podcast that discusses various conspiracy theories and events, including topics like anti-vaccine myths and other controversial subjects. So that's why I posted this. Okay, so this part here at the top, this is from a paper, and I posted this a long time ago, and I also posted it an even longer time ago on fakeologist.com. So someone did do a paper on fakeology, and I found it twice. The second time, I didn't even remember the first time, because don't forget, Fakeologist has been going for 12 years. We're going to be closing in on 12 years in April next month. And then we'll be in year 13. And will we keep going? I don't know. But anyway, so the reason I wanted to say this is because we do focus and do talk about anti-vax topics. Because yes, I am an extreme anti-vaxxer. And I am very against it. And it looks like our lovely guest has walked into the studio. So let's just test her out and see if we can hear her. Hello, Marie.
Hello. Sorry, does my mic work fine?
It works beautifully. You're coming through perfectly. You are an expert right out of the gate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the stream. This is cool.
This is fantastic. You are so many firsts on the Fakeologist/All Shots Clot show. You are a female, which is quite rare. You are young, which is quite rare, and you are from the Northwest Territories, which is even rarer because I've never talked to anyone on this show from the Northwest Territories. And you came onto our Discord server a couple weeks ago, and I don't usually monitor the the new people that come onto our Discord server. Normally there's an administrator there, but I caught you, and then we said hi, and we had a good conversation. I said, why don't you come on my All Shots Clot show, because you have a story to tell, and is there anything you want to add to that?
No, that's great. Thank you for the introduction. That's awesome.
So that was a good summary of your... Anything you want to tell the listening audience about yourself so they can get a feel? Why are you way up in the northernmost part of Canada? You're in the part of Canada that Americans think is Canada.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just born here. My mom's from here. So, indigenous. I don't know. I always kind of lived here. I did live in Ontario for a little bit. Moosonee or whatever. Don't really remember.
Moosonee is way at the top of Ontario. It's so far north that most people from... Ontario don't even know where it is, but it is right on Hudson's Bay, I believe. And that's where the polar bears hang out, I also believe. So lots of Canadian stereotypes right there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to bring it up on the map here so people can see it. And here it is here. Moosonee. You can't get there by car. It's on the Abitibi River. Abitibi is a big pulp and paper processor, so they got to name a river. So it's right off Hudson's Bay, and the nearest highway is down here in Kapuskasing, and I guess there's a train or a plane, but no road to Moosonee. Does that sound right?
Yeah, there is a train, I believe, and we took that.
Yeah.
With those territories, but yeah, neat little place.
So this is Ontario. Look how big Ontario is. I'm down here in the bottom, but most of Ontario is way up here. And this is just uninhabitable bush country. Is it not?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Northwest Territories?
No, most of Ontario.
Moosonee. Oh, Ontario. Yeah, I believe so. But it's super pretty there.
Yeah. Where are you in the Northwest Territories? Can I just sort of find it on the map here? So there's Nunavut over here. Simpson. On the right side here is Nunavut. This used to be one large Northwest Territories, and then they decided, no, we want two parts of the Northwest Territories. So Nunavut wanted to be on their own, and then the Northwest Territories is now over here. So you say you're in Fort Simpson. Which is north of Alberta. Is that correct?
Yep, and just a little bit up. Oh.
Can you see? What am I doing here? Are you over here? There's a river here, or a lake, is there not?
A little bit more left than up.
Left, okay.
See, Junery, it's just above it.
Oh, in front, on top of this lake?
Yeah.
we're
I'm sorry. It's like on the highways. You see the green, like the
right up here. Oh, okay, you're on the highway here.
We go up way more.
I'm gonna just type it in. I give up. I thought I could figure it out. Fort Simpson, Northern Territory. So here it is here.
Yep.
Okay, so this is Highway 1. So you come up from Alberta. So the highway just sort of comes up, curves back, and goes back down into Saskatchewan. Is that one? Or Alberta? Oh, I see. It's between British Columbia and Alberta on that line. Is that right? Anyway, yeah. You're up here.
I believe so.
Okay. You're also an Indigenous. Indigenous are now the top guns in Canada. You guys are being promoted right to the top.
Yeah, it feels good. Obviously, all these like funding opportunities and stuff, they're pretty cool.
Before we get to All Shots Clock, because we really want to talk about vaccines, vaccine damage, but I'm really fascinated by Indigenous Northwest Territories, because you guys are the celebrities in Canada now. What does this mean to your community, this promotion of the Indigenous, and how there's just so much that is going to be bestowed upon you, so much land, a big chunk of the resources. What are you hearing?
Well, I'm not hearing too much. I heard that, yeah, we got that big chunk of money not too long ago.
Did you get any of it?
Did I give it? I do from like schooling, if I decide to go to school.
Yeah.
I go to school for free and they pay for like my housing and like my food and utilities or whatever. They just pay me to go to school.
Okay.
Wherever. Yeah, you give us a bunch of grants, a bunch of entrepreneur grants to get like tourism up here.
Right.
To make a shit ton of money. But yeah, I honestly really don't know like all of it, but looks good so far.
You're hopeful for the future.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you are up in Fort Simpson. So what, tell us about any vaccine experience you have. What you think of the whole story? Are you following it? What do you think of COVID? And just give a background of what you experienced, especially up there, if it was any different there than it was everywhere else.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same. They locked everything down. Made sure no one came in town. If they went out, they had to stay out for like quarantine or whatever, and then come back in through Yellowknife, I believe, or wherever you decide to quarantine. My whole family got the vaccine because none of us knew.
Including yourself?
Yeah, I got, I believe, 2 or 3 shots, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I don't know, but I believe I got oral allergy syndrome from it, but I heard you could develop it as an adult, but you, I don't know. I got it around that time. And it's the birch pollen, I believe, the birch pollen allergy. It's like when your mouth gets itchy and like you get kind of sick or whatever to certain foods, like fruit.
Right. So you call it the birch, as in the birch tree pollen?
Yeah, like different like fruits that come from, you know, that birch pollen on it or whatever. Like the casing, I can't eat it. I have to cook it or I have to take the peel off or like.
Okay. I've never heard of that, so.
Yeah, it's super weird. I didn't either.
And you attribute that to your vaccines?
I do, but I honestly don't know. I don't want to be like, it's that, you know. But,
yeah, I know. It's easy to say.
I do believe, like, 99% that what my mom got, her, like, random partial blindness for, like, a random duration. I think it was a couple months. She went blind in one eye, and she got really scared. And they wouldn't tell her why. Like, she went to, like, doctors. She went, like, she got shipped out. Like, she, you know, was on medical, and they didn't know why. And she was, like, it was, like, I don't know. It was, like, super scary. And it was, I think it was only one eye, I believe. It might have been 2. And she was taking, like, a bunch of medication. I still didn't interview about it. I was supposed to. So sorry. But
oh, you were going to talk to her specifically about it. Does she live near you or live with you?
Yeah, I still live with my mom because prices here fucking suck.
Okay.
But yeah, that's our experience. I don't know about anyone else in the family. My dad got a back problem, degenerative disc, not too long ago too.
Right.
And it's pretty crippling. But otherwise, yeah, we all got the vaccine and it's all pretty much the same up here.
Do you yourself, because you came to Fakeologist, how did you find us again?
One of my really great friends told me about you.
Okay. But what was their interest? Was it on the vaccine topic I talk about Mondays, or was just other Fakeology related material that they were interested in?
In the beginning, it was the 9/11 stuff.
Okay.
And it just kind of gradually, you know.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha. All right, so that person was interested in 9/11, and they found the Fakeologist site.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. We have a lot of crossover. I think there's, well, COVID is such a large operation. It's, to me, it's makes 9/11 look like a little tiny event compared to what's going on now. So that's why I do concentrate and do talk about this, because I'm pretty passionate. And they used all the tricks of the trade from 9/11 and put them in here. So there's a lot of confusion around COVID vaccines in general. So I'm pretty convinced in my convictions on what the vaccine is and what it will be and what COVID is and what it will be. I really haven't changed my position just based on all my vaccine research and anti-vaccine research. But I'm still open to the idea that we're being fooled on this whole topic. But there are many people that are convinced that the vaccine is totally harmless. I'm personally not one of them, because I just see evidence around me with my own eyes that it's not an instant kill shot. I think it's a disability shot where it causes so many cascading events down the line. Maybe not the next minute or the next hour or the next day, but maybe 2 weeks later or a month later. Your body has this poison in it. Your body can't just deal with it overnight and get rid of it. It processes it, and sometimes it goes into places where you really notice it, like maybe your eye. Maybe the poison goes towards your eye, and then the white blood cells go towards the poison and they block the red blood cells, and next thing you know, it's lights out for that eye because it's not getting oxygen.
Right. That's totally terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Well, not too many people talk about this, but the one doctor, a Canadian from Hamilton, who is dead according to the official story, he talked about it. And not in an exactly clear way, but his name was Dr. Andrew Molden. And if you go to phacotube.com and go to the bottom and click on the left side and go through all my topics and click on vaccine, underneath Andrew Molden will appear, and you'll get 10 videos that I scooped off the internet, and you'll see what he's talking about. And he's the one that gave this really interesting idea about strokes, microstrokes, and vascular ischemia. Really, really fascinating stuff. So I'm going to put a link to this in the show notes. The show notes are on All Shots Clot number 9. And I really encourage people to take a look at all this. Have you ever heard of Dr. Andrew Molden?
I haven't. They sound interesting. I'll definitely take a look. I haven't really looked at your archive or anything, like any of your things, but they all look very interesting.
Yeah. So do you do much research on COVID or vaccines? What's your level of interest on that?
I heard about the
Yeah, you broke off there. Are you still there? You heard about the Uh-oh. I don't hear you if you're still there.
Sorry, my bad. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. I think you muted.
Sorry. I said, yeah, I heard about that plan. I forgot the name. Me and my friend were looking into it. The plan before COVID happened, when they were planning it out as like a, it was as like a thing. They had like the whole thing lined out.
Are you talking about the different drills? Like, I think one was called Crimson something. There was Event 201. Does that sound familiar?
It kind of does. I could be, Event 201. I believe so. I could be totally wrong. But yeah, it was that got me into it. My friend showed me that. And it was like freaking out. So I'm reading the comments. I gotta stop looking at them.
Yeah, you can read the comments. If there's anything you like to respond to, go for it. My commenters love to comment. That's why they're there.
Cool. But yeah, I don't really know too much about it other than like the conspiracy that they put like shit in us, like, you know, but I don't know too much. Like, I'm still, this is like my first year of knowing. Like, I think I've known since like, oh God, like December, not December, a little bit before. It was a while, not too, this year. For last year, technically, I guess.
So that's when you woke up to conspiracies and alternate ideas.
Yeah, it's so sick. There's so many, like, and they're all like super interesting, and I like them all. They're really cool.
Do you have any interest in a lot of the residential school stories that were blowing up last year or the year before? Is that it?
Yeah.
Does that go through the indigenous community? Is everyone talking about it or no?
We do talk about it, but it's not seen as like, we don't know, like nobody, I don't know any indigenous people that knows like about this stuff, but they do talk about residential school and like the bodies that were found under like the churches and stuff. And
do you believe those stories?
Honestly, now, like, I don't know. I know most of them were beaten. Like, I have grandparents who have stories, but that was like the time where it wasn't as bad and those children weren't dying. So,
right.
I don't know. I would like to think they hit all fucking points of the world, you know what I mean? And they're just making up little stories everywhere to cover all parts.
So yeah.
I would like to believe it's fake. You know, it'd be better that way, but.
Right, yeah. That's okay. I get you. Yeah, I'm pretty torn on the whole thing. There's a guy named Kevin Annette. I interviewed him, and he was working with one of the churches. He was a minister in British Columbia. I can't remember what denomination it was. It was a Protestant church. And when he got some of the indigenous coming to his church and listening to them tell the stories, he says that's when he broke away from his own church because he believed the indigenous stories and he believed that they were telling the truth of all kinds of wrongful deeds that the church was covering up 50 or 75 years before that. So, and then the church kicked him out because he was speaking out against the church. So he's one guy that believes all that. But I don't know if you've heard of him, Kevin Annette. I used to listen to him, his podcast all the time, but he's very repetitive. So I eventually just stopped listening because it was boring to me. But he has been on the Fakeologist show maybe a few years ago. So you might want to look into him, Dr. Kevin Annette. I don't know what he's a doctor of. It's not a medical doctor, but you can check him out if you want. See if you believe his story.
Yeah, for sure. I'll write his name down, actually.
He believes that something happened. That there was a cover-up. And he believes that the church definitely doesn't want to talk about it, understandably. So they kicked him out of the church, and now he's sort of just... I don't know what he does for a living. But he's a different... He's sort of a renegade, free, wandering spirit, so... Very strange. Very strange.
Yeah, I find it interesting how we're all kind of like, we all have the right idea, you know? We're not aligning it right, you know? There's people with their own, like, beliefs. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Now, you're in your early 20s. Do you have anyone else your age that talks about this stuff?
Well, there's me and my friend. I try to get other people into it. But it's pretty hard,
yeah.
Like to get it all in a conversation. So, me and my other friend talked to one of my other friends that live here. She's in school right now, so we don't really have a lot of time to talk about it. But she's definitely interested, and she said she was gonna watch me on the podcast, but she probably totally forgot. So,
well, it's saved. She can watch the replay. We got quite a few people on the video tonight, and so she can come to FakeoTube and download it and take a listen. And of course, she can download the audio. I'm sure. Are young people up in your neck of the woods as addicted to their phones as everyone else in the world? Are you guys pretty much the same as everywhere else?
Yeah, if not worse, because it's cold here and there's not a lot to do because it's so small.
Yeah.
So it's pretty bad.
What's the main business there? How do people make money up there?
The main business, it would probably be like Parks Canada or like the just the band offices. There's a bunch of like tourism like stuff here. There's Nahanni National Park and they base out of Fort Simpson here. Mm-hmm. And we take them out to the park and do whatever. And they make so much money from parks.
Okay. Yeah. What is on the Nahanni National Park Reserve? What's there? It's obviously huge.
Yeah, there's a bunch of mountains, nice little like camping grounds for like visitors. Mm-hmm. There's the river that people could go like canoeing or kayaking down. Virginia Falls, I believe, or fucking whatever the fuck. What else? There's a lot of places there that you could visit. But we're still trying to like explore because it's very large and we just started not too long ago with the parks program, so
yeah,
it's still pretty new, but we're still getting it up there.
It's interesting that Fort Simpson is a British name. Almost every other name has been switched to something indigenous.
Yeah, Dene Jati.
Fort Simpson? How does some of these names stay English and not get switched over?
They do get switched over, but we keep it on the map so we don't confuse people.
Okay.
Fort Simpson is where the two rivers cross in Dene Jati, and it's called Plihikwem. I can't do it properly because I don't know my language that well. Plihikwem. Mm-hmm. There we go.
What is that language? What is the language?
Dene Jati, it's South Slavey. It's a like a one of the dialects of the indigenous language here, but yeah.
So you don't speak it yourself, but your mother probably does?
My mom doesn't either. Actually, she knows some words, and I know a couple words. Like I went to school, and they it's a mandatory class. Like I know how to say moose, galant. You know, they just teach us random words, and then we get through it. But the language is kind of dying, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. So English is the main language?
Yeah. Sure is.
Yeah, I'm just taking another look at this. This is such a... If anyone wants to take their European country and place it onto Canada, it will just be swallowed up. You can see how big this country is. It's ridiculous. Even the Northwest Territories is bigger than all of Western Canada. It's just, or a good chunk of it anyway. You can see how big it is. It's the size of these two provinces plus maybe some of British Columbia. So, and it's damn cold there. When does it warm up there in the Northwest Territories?
Usually around like April, May. It usually melts by May, like late May. But it's been really warm lately, so I expect...
Yeah.
Mid-April?
Yeah, here too. I see on the map it says negative 14 there now.
Yeah, it's a little bit chilly.
Yeah, that's cold. Although if it's a dry, it says heavy snow showers. That's what's happening now.
Yeah, I'm looking out my window right now. It's very pretty.
Wow. Okay, well, do you have any other vaccine injury, or what's your take on vaccines? Are they good? Are they dangerous? What do you have an opinion now, being a budding or new fakeologist? Do you have a take on it? What do you tell the people around you about them?
I don't think people should take them. Like, you don't know what's in them. They're giving it to you. The government, I just don't think it's a good idea. Okay. And they're trying to force it on us. I think that's like super... Like, really? We're just going to, okay, let's put, I just don't think it's really that great, to be honest.
Do you, but
yeah, that's my take.
So you're now against them. So you've had three, but will you get more if you're forced to, or?
God, no. At least I'll try not to run the woods or whatever.
Okay, there was some story that I read early on that they said that they were forcing the vaccines on the indigenous back at towards the beginning, and they were running in the woods. Did you, then it turned out that was a fake story?
You know, that doesn't sound real to me, but
no.
People did leave town, I think, because you weren't allowed to leave unless you had it, I think, or you weren't allowed to come back in. Yeah, you weren't allowed to come back in town unless you had it.
Okay. But do you remember that story? That was I think it was from northern Alberta, just over the border. I don't know what, it could have been Hay River. There aren't too many towns to choose from, but I just remember hearing about it. And one of the guys talking about was Pat King, who was often doing some Indian ceremonies in Edmonton. And he was promoting that. I don't know where Pat King is now, but he was talking a lot about that. Did you follow him at all, or that's before you got involved?
Yeah, that's before I got involved. I have no idea about what went on with that.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you so much for
all right.
me on the podcast.
Thanks for tuning in.
I really appreciate it.
And I know you've joined, yes. I think, a couple of the websites. So thanks for joining in. Thanks for representing Northwest Territories. You forced me to look it up because it's not really what I think most Canadians have no idea about their own country, especially Fort Simpson in the Northwest Territories. So you did force me to look it up. The connection is really clear. What kind of connection are you on? Is it cable or fiber optics, or is it mobile?
We got fiber optic.
Oh, wow.
So that, some people still have shitty internet here.
So that means they actually, when did it come into Fort Simpson? Because I'm in Toronto and we just got ours last year.
Oh, wow.
A major city. We had to wait this long. We were on bad copper wire for all this time until last year.
That's weird. We also got it last year, like around the summertime.
Okay, that's when we got it. So they literally probably ran a wire, I'm guessing, from Edmonton, which is... Is that the closest major city to you guys, Edmonton? If you had to go somewhere, if you guys had to fly somewhere for a medical, for instance, situation, where would you go? Where would you go?
We would probably go to Yellowknife first if it wasn't like
okay,
live. Like if it was the right fit, I think you would go. Yeah, the closest place is Yellowknife. Super small,
and it doesn't look much bigger than your place.
No, probably maybe twice the size. Not much.
Okay. And would you have to fly there? It doesn't look like there's any roads.
There is a road there. It's like a 6-hour drive.
There is a road. So there's literally Highway 1 and then Highway 3. And that's 6 hours? Wow.
Yeah, it's a long drive.
Are there many gas stations on the way? Could you run out of gas?
There is one on the way in Providence. You could if you don't get enough. If you have a full tank, you'll make it to Providence.
So you have to be very careful when you're driving across Canada to fill up, because you might miss a gas station and then you're screwed.
Yeah, we have an emergency kit in the back of our Jeep just in case that ever happens. But it does happen.
So you'd have to make it to Yellowknife to get gas.
You can make it to the city. There's a little town between that. It's like 3 miles, a little bit like in between. Mm-hmm. It's like Fort Province, super smaller than Fort Simpson.
Right.
And they have a little station there.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. All right.
Take care. Have a good one. Have a good one, Marie. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Jen is calling, and we're going to take this call, and then we're going to blow out of here. And we're going to...
Hold time.
We're gonna...
6 minutes, 52 seconds.
Hello, Jenna. How you doing?
Well, I'm good. Thank you. I really enjoyed listening to your young caller.
Well, me too. It wasn't totally on topic, but it was close enough. When you don't have
yeah,
a...
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. I have an extended topic. Well, the first to her is that I read a book about Siberia. This Northwestern Territory Canadian went to go visit some way up north Siberian enclave of people that remained after the gulag, and how industry was encouraged by the government. And what happened was a major muckluck industry where tanners, hunters, and seamstresses would put together these amazing boots, and they're beautiful and they're super expensive. But on the topic of
the deer
wasting disease and relationship to mad cow and CJD, the Khrushchev-Yakov disease.
Yes. What's your take
related
on all that?
Well, I just interviewed Dr. Kevin McCarron and Dr. Martin Paul this past Saturday, and the topics that I'm listening to, because I haven't reached any solid conclusion, but we can't leave out that there's a bioweapon pathogen that can be released from these biolabs or aerosolized in certain areas that began the hysteria that created the whole communitarian culture around COVID so that people got the vaccines. But within the vaccines, it's insane that like the early onset dementia, Alzheimer's, and I'm sorry to report that a family friend back in Illinois, a 14-year-old, she was running track last week and dropped dead.
And how many vaccines did she have, do you know?
Well, if she was in high school participating in track and field, we can only guess.
I know, that's the problem. We can only guess. But it is extraordinarily, ridiculously unusual for young people to just have a heart attack. I think that's crazy.
And I want to mention that the communitarian concept of we need to give our organs to others that need them are, you know, they dovetail into, they took her organs before doing an autopsy.
What city was she in? Can we look it up?
Elmhurst. I put a link in the Fakeologist YouTube chat. Her name, she went out York High School.
Elmhurst, Rilene. Illinois.
Yep.
Illinois high school student died. Let me just try searching that.
Sure.
Because I can't click on the links in YouTube unless I go to YouTube, which I guess I could do.
Rilene Ramsey.
Okay.
February 27th.
Well, here's something. Did you say York High School?
I did.
Okay, because I found a story from 2019 about a murder-suicide there. Doesn't seem like a great place to be. Okay, let's find another story. Let's find another story here. Okay. Let's see. Okay. You say your name was Riley?
Rylin. R-E-I-L-Y-N Ramsey. R-A-M-S-A-Y.
Okay.
And maybe I could even, I don't know.
Yeah, here it is. Well,
let's see it.
Her name was R-Dub. R-Dub is her nickname, it says here. Wow.
Oh.
Wow, wow. So this is someone you're related to?
Mom's goddaughter's best friend's daughter.
Okay. Your mom's goddaughter's best friend's daughter. It's a bit of a stretch, but still.
Yeah.
It's a connection. Well, that's sad.
And then I had a conversation with my best friend, whose daughter is dating a young 22-year-old that has had to drop out of college because his myocarditis has been ongoing for a couple of years, can't function. He had to move back in at home and isn't dealing.
That's terrible.
Yeah. But going back to...
And it's all died suddenly here.
Yeah, unexpected. Sudden.
Not a great picture of her, but okay. Okay, well, I'll put a link in the show notes, that said. And you say that organ donation is a communitarian concept? I've really never thought of it that way, but okay. Okay,
It's
what?
more about the we than the me, or the individual family, and like the whole process of an autopsy. What the greater good would be to help somebody else that you don't know.
Right. Are you for or against that concept?
I wouldn't want that. And I've heard several interviews on the fact that they have to keep the oxygen flowing, the body alive, even if the brain is
Oh, of
dead. And
course,
there
of
is,
course, of course they
yeah,
would.
and there is some sort of, I bet there would be some pain or some recognition or some sort of realization that that's happening to you right before you stop your awareness. I think it would be a horrible way to go. And I think so many people don't even know if they look on their license if they've automatically become a donor. And they're looking for you because they're looking at your organs to sell to Jews in Israel.
I don't know about that.
I said that. But I wanted to go back to the my interview is just like, it could be that the no virus is the fakery to cover up the biolabs weapons industries, plural, global.
Well, listen, I think all vaccines are toxic and they're all poison to a different extent. I don't believe in pathogens. I do not believe in anything in contagious rather contagion. I do believe in toxins and poisoning, but and especially when you put it directly into your blood through the surgery we call hypodermic needles. I believe all of that, but I don't think you can just spray something into the air and we all get sick. I think we can consume things that make us sick, especially through water and water sources. And I think that's one of the oldest tricks in the book to poison the water supply. Whether or not you think fluoride is poisonous to an extent that will debilitate or kill you eventually, or even chlorine for that matter. Chlorine is one of those necessary evils, they tell us, because if we don't clear the bacteria from the water before, as when it's being stored or shipped to us, it will kill us. But on the other hand, if we drink too much chlorine that's in the water, then that will debilitate us. So it's a catch-22. Hey, over here in the chat, Boris is asking, is communitarian another term for commie? What do you say on that, Jenna?
I would I would say capitalism has died. Communism didn't make it. And what has sprouted from that would be the the shareholder capitalism, public private partnerships, the community organizations, and then the social influx through media and Hollywood and all media to create this, you need to become part of this consensus ruled society. And I think other people might explain it more eloquently, but I really do believe that all of these systems are in play. All the corporations right now, they are in congruence, even like Children's Health Defense. You know, they do good, they collect people, but then they end up taking a stance on something that the rights of the individual against the rights of the common good, and that's the shareholder capital crony
Are
collective,
they
you
so
know,
the,
that.
yeah, would you call them controlled opposition?
Well, I do think that they are steering.
Yes.
And yeah, controlled opposition in that we are being deceived by what they portray to be a good organization.
Yeah, I
And you
agree
know
with
they,
you. I agree with you on that, by the way.
because as far as I know, as of 2023, Children's Health Organization, they filed a lawsuit to the FCC to redefine or change the guidelines for radiation levels that are acceptable in our smartphones, and they need to be updated. the safety guidelines for technology. And they won, but nothing's going to happen because it's a revolving door of lobbyists and, you know, the huge market of telecom being involved in the FCC, you know, a revolving door of players. So, you know, it's all corrupt. That's how I see it.
Humans are corrupt.
They can be corrupt.
Every organization can be corrupted, and it is. I agree with that.
Because an organization can't have an individual stance on anything. They, you know, they have to be a consensus-ruled group to keep your job. So you're going to, like, the one interview in the hospital where the nurse was saying, you know, I tried to bring up this subject. Do you guys keep hearing the code blue on the floor that the vaccines were given? And
I heard that show. What show was that?
Well, you put it on FACO2.
Oh, that's right. Well, I can't remember what show that was. Yeah.
Northern California. I can't remember who the interviewer was, but real life scenario, Sonoma County.
Right.
She's a nurse, and she's like, well, eventually I got discharged because I wouldn't take the vaccine because I was hearing code blue 8 to 10 times a day.
Yeah.
And no one was saying anything. People are dropping down. I don't know if they died, but they were having breathing issues and cardiac issues, 10 a day, she was saying, while she was on shift. And, you know, I do want to go back to how the communitarian system works. It's blending the right and the left. You know, there is no, you know, it's seamless. Pepperdine University, the conservative communitarians, they'll all reach the same conclusion to solve all the world's problems. And, you know, it's like with the Hegelian dialectic. They can create the problem by saying it's a problem because they already have a predetermined solution for everyone. And that's how everyone took the vaccines. And then the pressure, the social pressures, and people took care of themselves. You can't come to my Thanksgiving if you don't get shot, get a jab, or, you know, and we're witnessing how this system works, and communitarianism is the way to describe it, because all these soft laws and mandates, we could go to court for 10 years to maybe come to a solution or maybe reach a verdict, but that's where everybody has just kind of moved on and accepted, well, this is how it is. But I want to bring up that it's a thing. And I'm glad Catherine Watt found it, too.
Oh, she's so good. I didn't even read that tonight because we had the caller in her who called in. But everyone needs to go to allshotsclot.com. That's where I put all this kind of stuff up. Catherine Watt, so good, so smart. And too bad she won't come on this show. Maybe she'll go on your show. That would be good.
Well, Brian thought it would be great to have her and Nordica on together.
Well, good luck with that. Nordica didn't answer my stuff after a while.
Recently?
No, that was a couple of years ago. I'd like to get Nordica on my show, but she was on once, actually.
Yeah, it was very good.
I'd like to have her back, but I won't go on Facebook. I've been thrown off too many times. I give up. Facebook wins. I can't get onto Facebook. I'm not dealing with it anymore. I even get people on my Facebook group that I still get emails from Facebook saying, you're missing all this. Why are you sending me emails, Facebook? You know I can't log in. This is how annoying these platforms are. They send you an email saying, oh, you're missing out. Come check it. I can't log in, you idiots. So it's just...
I can't log in anymore because turns out I can't verify with a mobile phone. I don't have a cell phone, so I can't access anymore. But one more name I need to drop is Aman Jabi and the digital surveillance, because he can articulate. He's got a YouTube channel, and he called in at the end of my interview on Saturday and just laid it all out in about 2 minutes.
Well, send me your links. I want you to, I'm encouraging everybody, go to fakeologist.com/PGP. That's Papa Golf Papa. Go there and get my public key and send me stuff securely. Everyone needs to secure their email now. It doesn't cost any money. just make sure you get a program that can actually handle secure transmissions. And send me all these links. Or also, Jenna, make sure you log in to fakeologist.com and make the comments. Put all these links in a comment. You don't need me to do it. Just put the comments in the reply to the post today. And we'll look at all this. Yeah, actually, All Shots Clot. If you give me your email, I will register you on All Shots Clot. But you don't even have to log in to All Shots Clot. Anyone can leave a comment. So could you do that? Leave all the links for what you're talking about?
Yes, I can try. Because I did send an email, but I can try to do it myself. We'll see how.
No, I know. People do send me a lot of emails and a lot of links. I really prefer if people just post them, because if I don't look at it right away, then 100 other people could look at it. So sending it to me isn't always the best. If you just want to send me a private message, make sure you secure your email with PGP. Like I said, it's free. So everyone needs to do that. I'm just figuring it out now. But I think it's really important. But Jenna, thank you so much for calling. And I'm going to close out because I wanted to make this an hour. And we're already whatever we are at an hour and a half. So, yeah, an hour and a quarter.
Very good. Okay. Thank you for your time. Good
job. Always like hearing from you, Jenna.
Thank you.
And sometimes Brian.
Very good. Heard that.
I know. Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Jenna has the best laugh, too, by the way. It's an Eddie Murphy laugh. That's what it is. It's Eddie Murphy. She laughs like Eddie Murphy. Oh, that's too funny. I knew I recognized that laugh. All right, everybody. That's it for All Shots Clot. It's not the barn burner of a show that the Fakeologist show can be. Fakeologist did a really good round table with Tim Osman, Fake Nukes Phil, and John LeBon. If you haven't seen it, make sure you go to fakeologist.com. And check it out. It was really, really well organized by John LeBon. I give him all the credit and more. And tomorrow, we're going to do our regular lineup this week. Lynn or Tell, you got to either love her or hate her. She'll be on tomorrow. Wednesday's Fake Nukes Phil. And Thursday is Frank. And that's it. And right now, if you go to fake11.com/Discord, there's a big audio chat there. If you just want to listen, go to fake11.com/radio2 or stream2 and listen to it. These guys may be better than me, and they're busy talking about Fakeologist topics. So check it out at the Fakeologist audio chat. And don't forget, this show doesn't make itself. If you like this show, please support it. Even a dollar. Toby, I think, donated from Denmark $1, and the guy is on assisted living. So thank you very much for Toby donating, and that's it. Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you.